It's on, but it's not loud.
Oh.
It's not loud.
But you said both of these were working.
It's working really well to hear.
Oh, all the tape's coming off now.
I better run and pick it up. Somebody else's mic.
Oh.
Yeah, people on that side took it down and started sitting over there anyway.
Unfortunately, I don't know if we're...
Plenty of sound. They're getting plenty of sound.
Yeah, I don't know what. Is it locked down?
They're getting plenty of sound, though. They can hear everything.
Welcome to everybody who's online. It's on now?
Yes.
We'll probably blast you out at the moment. Life called meeting to order. You've had the agenda for a period of time. Do we have any additions or corrections? We have a motion to approve. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The minutes of the November meeting, we have not met since then, were distributed for the December meeting and again before this meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Yes.
There was a typo, I think, in the president's address. When the president made comments regarding the faculty, he described it as respectful. I was hoping he meant respected. But it is a big difference.
I heard president. And I am respectful.
It was describing the faculty.
And I am very respectful of the faculty.
Yeah, right.
Is that what we want to say?
No.
That's what I want.
But the president was describing the faculty as a respectful faculty. And I was hoping
he
meant a respected faculty.
I think it'd probably be both.
Okay, well, that was fine.
Could we adjust it to reflect both?
Yeah.
So noted. Any other changes to the minutes? Do we have a motion to approve? Second? Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. You'll notice that we have a slight change to our normal format and certainly our seating in the back. It's necessary for us to be prepared for the Minnesota State site visit. I have agreed to keep this meeting to 45 minutes, and then we will be inviting another cohort of staff from the campus, hence the reserved seat in the back, for, excuse me, Barbara Kimmelman and Pat Thatcher to bring us up to date as far as that. So we're kind of a little pressed for time, but there are things, because we did not meet in December, that we absolutely have to do at this meeting. So we're going to start with Provost.
Good afternoon. Hi. Keep this short because we're compressing the meeting a little bit. There was an announcement last week, but I just figured out, for those of you not looking at email, we have announcing two leadership positions. One of them is the new dean for the School of Business Administration, Dr. Monica Lamb from California, will be joining us on July 1st of this year. She has a lot of background in executive MBA programs and international MBA programs, having started one in Singapore, in accreditation issues and in a variety of issues involving non-traditional students and traditional students, so we'll welcome her then. And we've also, Phil Russell has done an amazing job pushing the ball forward, not just babysitting, in the School of Business Administration, and he will be taking over as the graduate dean position, so he'll be working most of the time for Cambor College, but part of the time, 25% of his time, will be doing university graduate dean positions, doing some of what Jack Kleck did and some of what Lloyd did in the past. So in that realm, if you're asking who's going to be the chair of the graduate council, that would be Philip, who's going to be helping to organize from the academic side, graduate student services, and graduate student orientations. That would be Philip, who would be helping with the graduate assistant placement. That would be Philip. So there will be a lot of issues, and we think this is just a fabulous thing to put that back up onto the screen, and we're thrilled to have both Philip and Dr. Lamb with us. So, and then that will continue to help to, as you know, I've had some of these five or six themes that I've been continuing with. One of them having to do with non-traditional students, one having to do with global education, and one that many of you heard about having to do with diversity things, which you'll hear more about in the next issue and next meeting, plus we're going to be keeping this flow. Thank you.
Okay, faculty voices. Chris. Again, we are connected to Adobe Connect, so as you speak, would you identify yourself?
Chris Pastor. I just wanted to revisit something I brought up last year regarding the way that we vote on things, especially changes to the organization of the faculty, especially in light of the recent election that we had, that we require two-thirds of the eligible voters to approve something rather than two-thirds of the people who vote, and that oftentimes will result in a negative vote, either through inaction or unawareness. We don't know in those cases if a negative vote actually is because people don't want the thing to happen or because they didn't bother to find out what the thing that was going on. So I would really like us to consider changing that policy of the two-thirds vote of all of the eligible faculty being needed to change the organization of the faculty. Change it to something more like two-thirds of those who voted, as long as some threshold number of faculty have voted. And especially since we had managed to skip that rule when we rewrote the organization of the faculty recently, I think it might be a good time to revisit.
Anybody want to speak to that? Chris, would you be willing to put a proposal together, bring to the faculty?
Is anything more complicated than that? From what I just said?
Officially, 10-day rule?
Okay,
the committees have not met yet, obviously, because of the semester break. But the faculty council is in charge of running faculty elections, and that cycle will run throughout the spring. Jess is helping me. The schedule, which there are copies of this on the table in front here, they were distributed again in the fall at one of the faculty meetings, so everybody's had access to it. The cycle start with the January 25th opening of nominations for chair of the faculty. The elections for the, and I should say the chair of the faculty must be a senior member, either tenured or the 5-7 year contract. The elections start for that, excuse me, the voting starts for that and for members of the personnel committee, university personnel committee, again, senior members of the faculty, on the early in February. There'll be three new members on the university personnel committee. The cycles of nominations and elections continue through April. And the cycles that are up there in blue are for university-wide positions, and those in pink are for college-wide positions. So watch your emails. They will be coming to you as surveys. In some cases, you'll be voting as members of the university faculty, and in some cases, as members of your school. And I just urge you all to participate. This is extremely important as we move through changes within the university in the next 2 years. This is a 2-year cycle, so you won't have to do this again for another 2 years. Are there any questions? If anyone has questions or concerns about the election, the college representatives and the at-large members, Sue Christopherson for DEC, John Pierce for Siege Law, Alec Messinger for CABE, and Barb Lowry is the at-large member. That's all you can always come to me.
I would just like to,
Okay, Barbara Kimmelman, College of Siege Law. I would just want to urge senior members of the faculty and administrators in each of the schools to take under their wing junior faculty, especially first-year faculty. We hired a lot of first-year faculty, not just in Siege Law, but across the university this year. And you know, guide them through the committee structure, make suggestions, find out their areas of interest, and just let them know that while service is an important component of faculty life here, so I think new faculty should get a little special attention about this election cycle.
Great suggestion. Any other comments or concerns?
We're being asked if which committees will have online meetings.
The component of online meetings, the use of a robot, the use of various classrooms to Skype and various other Xbox have been discussed very recently. Apparently we have the software, we have the facilities, and so I encourage anybody who is with us from a remote location to consider that any of the meetings are available for participation, and we will see that you can participate.
Nancy, can we move to one of the microphones? We're going to have to turn one of the microphones off. So,
just technical glitch here. Okay, back to the agenda. We have two special reports. One is on faculty manual updates.
Shepherd Rabbitam, Office of the Provost. In the fall semester, we in the Provost Office worked with UPC on some modifications to the faculty manual to address certain situations, and then wrote some language which I distributed in early January to the campus community. The situations described when a chair of a committee or a member of a personnel committee is actually a candidate, him or herself. So the new language relieves the committee member who is the candidate of discussions and voting on his or her own contract, on his or her own promotion, or on his or her sabbatical application. The language also addresses voting and the quorum descriptions for when the committee member is a candidate. It establishes a procedure, which we did not have before, for when the committee chair is a candidate. And as I mentioned, over the course of the fall semester, we vetted this language with the UPC committee members and with outside counsel. These changes will be reflected in section 14 of the manual, which I'll upload this afternoon. I think it's a great improvement. It clarifies for committee members what happens under these circumstances, and it also, this is the UPC description, it also relieves the committee chair of having to find his or her own replacement and worry about that part of his or her contract review. Any questions? Thank you. Okay,
questions for Ben? Okay, Jeff Ashley.
Thank you. Jeff Ashley, director of the Center for Teaching Innovation and Nexus Learning. I have a brief PowerPoint slide, mostly promotional. Do not take notes because this is all on our new website. So all the information is there, and I hope you will be directed to it at the end of this and peruse the site. I'm really excited that I'm in this position, and we have a whole bunch of spring programming, and I want to mention some of it. What we found successful is when folks actually come to workshops, that makes for a success. But then they go back to their office, right? What happens? You go to a really good workshop and you go back to your office and life happens, right? Emails happen and you get involved with that. And the verve that you had coming out of that workshop is sort of lost. To sustain this enthusiasm and effort, we're taking deeper dives, deep pedagogical dives. And one of the ways we do this very successfully is through reading groups. And these reading groups have gone beyond just reading. They've actually gone into implementation, group sharing, assessment, and it's been wonderful. So that was a picture of one of the reading groups from the fall. We've been doing this for about 3 years after Tom initiated our first reading group about 3 years ago. So we'll start off the programming with this. We have two reading groups. One is going to read what the best college teachers do, and we can, I won't even mention dates, but I'll mention contact people. Contact Ann Bauer if you're interested in this. This is a commitment of 1 hour per week, and lunch is included. Another reading group is Whistling Vivaldi, and this looks at stereotyping and identity, and this is very germane to our diversity initiative on campus, and contact Susan Frostman for that. Again, lunch included. Another lunch included. This has been really successful. This is a group of faculty members that, like all of us, have issues in their classroom, a problem. Identifying that problem and then using a tech-assisted solution to solve for that. But that can be daunting if you're not a techie. So in this group, and we meet every 3 weeks, are the techies. We have representatives from OIR, we have pedagogical folks such as myself and some advocates, and we assist people in addressing that personal issue in their classrooms that they've identified through a tech-assisted teaching. A tool. Mary Beth Kirilko will be heading up this one. We did this in the fall. It was great. We had some really successful moments, and each of us actually had a deliverable, which we presented at the end of the semester. I'm also doing away with one thing, the Celebrate Teaching Week. I'm doing it differently. I'm spreading that out throughout the semester, so it's less daunting for faculty members to look at a schedule over a week and go, oh my gosh, there's so many cool things to do, but I can't make it. So now hopefully you'll look at this EduSeries, which is my Celebrate Teaching Week incarnated into a different form, spread out throughout the semester. Almost daily we have something offered from the center, either a reading group or a workshop, either from our internal folks, you guys presenting something in workshop format, or getting outside experts to come in. So these are just what's up this week. Talking teaching has been wildly successful. This is an informal meeting of faculty where you bring your own lunch and you talk about teaching, either seated by a great short article, or we're going to introduce No Agenda Wednesdays. Also this week, I want to draw attention to our first in our EduSeries. This is Katie talking about redefining the grading scale and considering the F. So talking teachings are just that. It's an informal setting. We meet in the fishbowl downstairs in the common thread. If you see us, come join us. Just grab your lunch and you can talk about anything teaching and learning related. New faculty workshops. I don't want this to be exclusive to new faculty because some of these topics, like the second one there, are germane to all of us. So new faculty workshops are the center's initiative to address what's on the minds of new faculty members and get them acquainted. Also to build a sense of cohort among the new faculty members. We had a good semester last semester, ending at Mannion Brewing Company for a really tell-all about, you know, lessons learned from, let's say, elderly faculty, seasoned faculty members. And I was one of those elderly faculty members, seasoned faculty members. But we're going to try this again. No time is a good time, so I understand that some new faculty members cannot attend. Faculty activity reports, those daunting things that we have to all do, are new to faculty members, so we're going to hit the road with a workshop on that as our first one. We're sharing our program with the folks across the street at William Penn Charter, and this has been incredible. You can see a link to their offerings for their spring programming going through the CTINL website. So go through our website to get to theirs, and it's wonderful. A lot of the cool cutting edge things are being done at the K-12 level, and that's where it's happening, across the street. This is exciting as well. You probably noticed these Nexus Learning Hubs floating around our campus. We're expanding this initiative. Some of you are lucky enough to teach in there. They are wonderful. We're going to drive this initiative by, you know, celebrating our success in these learning hubs, but also inviting regional folks to come. The movers and the shakers in the area of learning spaces are going to congregate on this campus. We're going to host them in August. So if you can make it, the added benefit is there will be a platform and oral sessions too, so you can submit abstracts to that. Much more information on that to come through the website. Another initiative that I want to create, so I'm asking you, this is an open door policy, but only if you say, hey, my door is open. So I think a lot of you are doing, many of you, most of you are doing really great things. And by opening the doors to your classroom such that other faculty members or students or anybody who visits the campus can just come on in. So I'm going to pilot this. If you don't reach out to me, I'm going to reach out to some of you by asking you to just post your schedule. And that doesn't mean that faculty and students can pop in at any time. They can email you and say, hey, what's going on? I'll be doing team-based learning. Come on in next Wednesday. So I hope this sustains our effort, and again, doesn't just drive it to an open classroom week, it drives it through an open door policy throughout this campus. Maybe the most important thing, because it goes beyond free lunch, it involves money to support you and your pedagogical research. Nexus Learning and Nexus Online grants, almost 30K. Maybe I shouldn't mention money, but I have to, because it's an institution this size, it's great value added. 30K available, lots of information on the Provost site, and you can get the link off the center site as well. I've also posted the full proposals from those people who said go ahead and post it on the Provost site. So I'll send out an email or a directive to that. You can see the full proposals as fodder for your innovative proposal as well. Deadline for that is March 4th. I and the advocates are willing to chat with any of you and to kick around ideas to formulate a good proposal. Go over the grading rubric, whatever. That gets me to the advocates. I just want to remind you that there are three Nexus advocates who do a lot. Oh, one is standing up right now. He's doing his duties as distributing the brochure of all this information. So I'm old school sometimes, and rather than just relying upon a website, stick that brochure onto your filing cabinet or your monitor right next to your computer itself. The Nexus advocates are Ann Bauer from CSLOC, Chris Pastor from CDEC and KDEC, and Dave Kratzer from CAVE. What do the advocates do? I'm often asked this. I will post this on the website so you don't have to read it, but they do a lot. And finally, check out our website for all the information on these dates. Have a great semester, everyone.
Much. If anybody didn't get a brochure, see Chris afterwards or Jim. One brief announcement. I put it under old business because I wasn't sure where else to put it. There was a question that had come up in Shared Governance Committee about where do people go if they have a problem or a concern and they don't necessarily want to stand up in the faculty meeting and voice their concern. And so this is a reminder to you that the members of the Faculty Council, as part of their charges, this is exactly what they're charged to do. They serve as a liaison between faculty and whatever office is necessary to hear the concern. So this is just a reminder, just that. Okay? We have a motion that about global portfolios. So if Meryl and Rob would come forward, I'll pass the box.
Thank you. right, good afternoon. I'm Robert Fryer, chair of the AOO, the Academic Opportunities and Oversight Committee. When the AOO receives trans college revisions, it brings the vote to the university faculty, and that's what we're doing today. There are revisions to the global portfolio. Faculty proposing changes to Mariel Talante. The proposed revisions went out in the AOO open review period of November 2nd through the 12th. No comments were received from that. So we're asking for the motion to approve the changes as indicated in those revisions that went out in the AOO open review period and are noted again as part of the motion here. Do we need the second one first?
The second?
Second.
Hold the.
Is there any discussion? Should I give a background, or are you all comfortable with this? I'll give you a very quick background. Essentially, the global portfolio is there are two things here. The global portfolio is a trans college program that will allow students to take some globally focused courses in addition to as well as within their majors and college studies / home arts program. And they receive, this is very boring, this last part, they receive a transcript notation saying that they've taken the global portfolio. Currently, there are two things I'm asking here. One is I've revised the list of courses that have a global focus, and in consultation with program directors, have come up with a revised list. And I'd like the faculty to look over that and propose and sort of, you know, review that and accept those changes. Secondly, there is going to be a change to the global portfolio. When the Hallmarks program was created, it was envisaged that there would be the opportunity to have what's called a distinction, a Hallmarks distinction in various areas. And this could be ethics or entrepreneurship or global perspectives. So the distinction was modeled initially on the global portfolio. And now we're kind of creating a synergy here where the global portfolio is going to become, if you approve it, a Hallmarks distinction, the first Hallmarks distinction. So this motion here lists a few of the changes that we're going to make to make this become not the global portfolio, now a Hallmarks distinction in global perspectives. Global perspectives being one of the categories and outcomes of the Hallmarks program. Another added benefit of this is that you will no longer have to vote on the global portfolio because it will no longer be a trans college program, it will be in Hallmarks. But it will allow students to have a global aspect of their education. And if anyone, by the way, is interested in pursuing distinctions in Hallmarks, as I said before, entrepreneurship, there are various distinctions that can be proposed within the Hallmarks program that will give students the ability to sort of dig a bit deeper into areas they're interested in their general education and in their major, and get that transcript notation. So there are two parts to this. One is just revising the list of courses that have the global element, you know, bring that up to date because courses change, you know, get discontinued. And the second one is this motion to change the global portfolio to a distinction in the Hallmarks program, a distinction in global perspectives. So I think you'll be getting an email. Yeah, I'll hand this part over to Nancy.
Everybody has had this proposal for 2 months at this point, and since there were no comments to the AOC in the open review period, and I've heard, are there any questions or concerns here? Would anybody object to me taking a hand vote at this meeting? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. This was important. We really need to get this into the catalog and for the fall schedule. Thank you very much. Dr. Spinelli?
We were having a discussion before the meeting started about the minutes of the last meeting, and there was a question whether I had said that the faculty was respected or respectful, and I said that I think I mean both, but I really mean both. As I say today, I think you've done just a terrific job. And there's a lot of I think, objective data.
Can you hold
Steve Spinelli, president. This is a little weird, I have to tell you. It's okay. I can do it. There are a lot of
of reasons I say that. And a lot of them, I guess, are quantitative. Some of them are qualitative. I just think you're nice people. That's, I guess, a qualitative assessment. But the quantitative assessment, I think, comes in these kinds of presentations, just in this very short faculty meeting. The work you're doing with the Nexus Learning perspective and the growth that you're infusing into this faculty, and I think into pedagogy in general, is inspiring. I think there aren't a handful of schools in the country that have the depth of understanding of pedagogical collaboration that we have here, and that are infusing it or giving people the chance to infuse it in their classroom virtually every day and persistently over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I think it is really a distinctive act of the faculty to embrace this. And then the Hallmarks program in general, and in the way the Hallmarks embrace the interdisciplinary or transdisciplinary perspective we have and allow students a greater choice in what they want to focus on. I think that the distinction comments that you made in the presentation, just me wherever you are, it is really terrific. It is, I think, 21st century education that says to a student, if you have a passion about something, we understand that you're going to drive that into a profession and we're really good at training you. But we go much further with the Hallmarks program and we allow you to broaden that passion to a leadership perspective. That's what I heard from this presentation. And I am mightily impressed by both of those. That isn't what I had planned to say when I got up here, but I really was inspired by both of you. I think it's just terrific. I am also inspired by what may be our best retention rate we've ever had in this spring. And that comes off of the best retention rate we ever had last spring. So if we're looking at quantitative assessment of how students are reacting to the way you're teaching, that's a pretty good one. And it has an effect on everyone. Everyone knows that enrollments have been a real challenge, especially or maybe only at the full-time undergraduate level, but that's a challenge. And one of the ways that we've met that challenge, that you've met that challenge, is to really focus on students. And the value of a Philadelphia University education because of that focus is becoming more and more recognized externally, the biggest jump of any school in the U.S. News and World Report rankings, and now 2 years in a row, the best retention rate the school has ever had. Those are terrific accomplishments for this university. God bless you. Or whoever you believe in bless you. I was chastised earlier and I'm better at it. I'm working on it. It's self-awareness. We are working very hard. It's been a month almost exactly since our announcement about our TJU engagement. It has been going very well and very intensely. I met with their faculty for about 90 minutes. I presented for 10 minutes, and they asked questions for about 70 minutes. In talk about respectful and almost deferential, they were incredibly kind in that meeting, incredibly warm, and with an incredible embrace asked the questions. At some level, I think they may even be more excited about this than we are. They see the possibilities of a comprehensive university. All of their questions were really focused on the opportunity to deliver more and better and more interesting education. There were very few questions about sort of logistics and administration. It was about what are the kinds of cool stuff do you envision? I was absolutely blown away by the embrace. And then in the process, and let me just quickly go through the process and then I'll stop. The process was the whole dating up to letter of intent. We signed the letter of intent and now we go to what is called a definitive agreement. The letter of intent is the structure of how we see this relationship working. The definitive agreement is wrapping the legal language around that and creating a legal contract. When we finish that sometime around March 1st, I expect, it then goes to a closing. A closing is all of the accreditation and banks and disclosures and all of that that have to happen to make it official. That is decreasing complexities along this route to finalizing the merger. And then on July 1, we would make it official. We are going through a very deep dive on what planning and engagement will mean. That includes how we see the faculty being engaged in this. We're getting prepared for the first draft to discuss with you, and then we will do that. And there'll be, as we've discussed before, really a three-year planning and implementation period. There are some key categories that we're saying sort of hallmarks of what a good integration period will be, which focuses on students and talks about value creation versus legacy maintenance, talks about a comprehensive university that empowers students and faculty and alumni. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, we have a few minutes for our announcements.
Hi, I'm Phil Timar, a professor of history, but also the faculty coordinator for study abroad short courses. I just sent an email to all full-time faculty inviting applications for short courses for the next academic year. And these can be regular short courses that are tied to a particular program, which we have many in each of our colleges. I'm also inviting applications for the Nexus Abroad short course, which would be a collaborative trans-college application. So if you have any questions, I'll be here during and after the meeting. Come find me. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Jeff Siebel from the Office of Information Resources. Welcome back, everyone. And today, this afternoon, I'm happy to introduce Sherry Place, who's right next to me. Sherry joins us as the Director of Instructional Design and Academic Technology in the Office of Information Resources. We're really pleased she's here. Stand up, Sherry. We need to get Sherry's background and the email I sent around this morning to everyone, so please join us in the moment, Sherry.
Good morning. Marcella Corday, Honors Program. To all faculty who are teaching a course with an honors assignment, the email confirmation function is not working. Help desk is working on it, so students may have to let you know that they've selected. So it will appear for you, but the email confirmation is not functioning. Please proceed.
Hi, Madeline Wilcox. I'm the Director of International and Domestic Study Away Programs. This is a reminder to you and your students that we're in application season and that the deadlines for summer, fall, and spring will be this semester. So you can check out our webpage, we'll have the deadlines. I'll also be emailing around a flyer to post with some of our study centers and the deadlines and contact information for your offices.
Hi, Karen Albert, Director of the Library. Just want to remind everyone we have two book events for faculty coming up. One is next Tuesday, a week from today, at this time, for Natalie Nixon, who wrote a book, Strategic Design Thinking. So please come to Library Instruction Space, 12:30. And another one we have February 18th, also free period Thursday, 12:30, for D.K. Malhotra and Ray Poteau, who wrote a book, Financial Accounting. So email me if you want to RSVP. Thanks.
I'd just like to, Jeff Clemens, I'd just like to take a minute to introduce Jack Soss and Radhika Bhaskar, who as of this semester are joining us on a full-time basis as members of our DECA Core teaching team and instructor positions. So stand up. Yeah. I'll be this semester and they'll be with us, so I just wanted to say welcome.
Two quick things. I just sent you an email on Ready to Run. Ready to Run is a bipartisan project through Chatham University, their Women's Center for Women in Politics. It's for our students, free for the first 20. It's on February 13th, Saturday, free lunch. Essentially what it is getting women, whether adult women, students, faculty, staff, involved in politics in our Commonwealth, which unfortunately does not have enough women involved in politics. It's a day-long event, it's got lunch, it's got a terrific program. I recommend it very strongly. You have that in your mail, look right now, and later you'll have in the mail, we have Explore Your Bridge Year Options, January 28th, 5:30. That's the year that you leave school, whether it's for Teaching America, Fulbright, VISTA, Peace Corps, showing our students what opportunities there are. We'll have alumni who have successfully done this program come in. Marcel will be there, some of our Fulbright hopefully will be there. It's a terrific opportunity for students who, some of them don't know what's out there for them. So please, you'll see it in your mail. Give it to your students. Thank you.
Me again, Jeff Ashley. Jeff reminded me to do an introduction as well to fill my void and exceed it already. Stand up, Dr. Megan Fuller. Dr. Megan Fuller. Megan has been a wonderful adjunct here for over half a decade. 6 years. And she'll be wonderful. Welcome, Megan.
Any other announcements? And as promised, Pat.
So let me just say to all faculty, if you were in your college meeting, this will sound very familiar to you. If you were not and you would like to stay, please do so. We will be elaborating a little bit more in some areas. And we're going to be joined by staff, too. Yeah, it's not exactly
1:15.
Yeah, that's what I thought I said. Yeah, if you've heard this, you might want to go. On the other hand, we do have Tom Schrand, who is going to enlighten us again about homeless.
Yes, especially if you're a program director or you're teaching courses in a major program that involve more out-of-campus
and not about to go.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
How was the trip?
Great. Yeah, Randy appreciated his mail, and he's happy, and he looks great, and his office is amazing. Not his physical office, we didn't see that. That's in a different building from the corporate offices.
Yeah, Nabil and I were chatting about it last 2 weekends ago.
I can't believe how much is one of the desks museum is. They have a thing called the gallery.
How was it? The hotel was good?
The hotel was amazing.
Oh, good.
So worth it to stay a little further out.
You know,
very short, cool ride. I ride every day.
How you doing? Jess?
Huh?
Jess, switch the mic.
Yeah, I would switch the mic.
Okay.
Barbara.
You switch the mic.
I was going to say, air on the side
of that. Oh, no, I got to figure out what
this is. Maybe we should wait a few minutes for more staff to arrive.
Yeah. This is the, whatever it's titled. It's this one. It's the middle
probably not going to even review it anyway. They wanted the other one that I think you had in your email. So. That blew me. I don't know why it's not good.
Hello everyone, I guess we should get started. We were supposed to start at 1:15. What we're going to do, there's going to be three parts to this presentation. First, we're going to very quickly run over the structure, cover the structure of the self-study that the entire university just spent 2.5 years preparing. Because we're going to be assigning you chapters to read, and we want you to know what's in the chapters you're being asked to read. And then Pat and I will do a sort of a, I guess it would be considered a cheerleading session about the self-study and what people need to do and know, and some information about the visit itself and what will happen there. And then finally, Tom Schrand is going to do a mini review of hallmarks. Hallmarks, as well as the decor, was highlighted in the self-study. The visiting team, we were informed by Jeff Cromarty today, is very impressed with our document. They're already, they found the reading very interesting, which is kind of incredible that anyone would find reading a Mishy self-study interesting and engaging, but that's what they're saying. We know that the visiting team is already accessing the documents on our documents roadmap, so we know that they are looking at us very deeply and are very excited about coming. When they arrive, they can ask to speak to any of us, any group, so it's important for us to prepare well for the visit. So Pat will tell us a little bit about the self-study design and structure.
So as I've said in other, is this working? Okay, good. So I've said in other fora, Middle States has, until next year when they change the whole thing, they have 14 standards of excellence that institutions who are looking to receive reaccreditation have to meet. Within each of the 14 standards, there are a series of what they call essential elements, which we now call essential elephants.
Here
at this institution, because who could remember, right? So they're huge. Right, they're essential elements, they're all huge. And so we have organized the self-study in a very specific way, and we did it so that we could better tell our story, right? Because any institution could go through